Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. Today is a gift from God's gracious hand. Let us celebrate the giver. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you're here, and especially if you're here for the very first time, we're pleased that you've joined us. Those of us who are here on a regular basis, if we see someone that we don't know, we'll approach you and extend a hand of friendship and welcome you. And if we don't get to you quickly enough, you find us and you introduce yourself to someone you don't know, because we would love for you to have a home here. And one way to do that is by meeting people, and another way is by getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. There is a bulletin insert. There are lots of opportunities for that kind of involvement. I'm going to lift up just a few in the announcements. First of all, we are in the midst of an all-church directory, and there are a couple of dates added because we've had such a good response. September 24th and 25th, if you haven't had a chance to have your photograph made for the directory, please sign up for one of those dates. You can go online at our website and sign up. We would love to have everyone in the congregation to have their photo included in the directory. Okay, next week, September 14th, is our Women's Connect and Share, beginning at 12:15 to 1:30. It's an intergenerational gathering of women, and they'll be talking about the vision to further connect and share with one another. If you're interested, the meal is $5. Please RSVP either online, or you can call the Reverend Nancy Halstead here at church. Also, there is a table in Reed Hall, and after the service, if you haven't already done this, you can sign up to volunteer for a room in the inn. And we still have a few slots open for our Habitat build. If you'd like to sign up for that, right out in Reed Hall, you'll have an opportunity to sign up for both of those. And now it's my great pleasure to introduce our new Minister of Music, Matt Phelps. As Matt comes, I'll say he's originally from Cincinnati, just finished his doctorate at the Cincinnati Conservatory, and comes to us with his family, Colleen and Noah, their son. So welcome, Matt. We're delighted that you're here. There you go.
It's a pleasure to be here, and this music program has such a great tradition that I really am one of the luckiest people in the country who do what I do. And so it's a sincere expression of gratitude. I feel very blessed to be a part of this congregation, not just because of what this choir can do, the fact that we have Andrew, the fact that we have Bobby, but also how warm and loving and welcoming everybody has been. Colleen and I have just been blown away by the amount of love and gratitude you've already shown to me, and I've hardly done anything for you yet, so hopefully I can repay that back. Colleen is, of course, singing in the choir, so she's back there getting ready to process. Our son Noah, you've probably seen running around. He makes race car sounds as he runs around. So if you see any child doing that, that's Noah. That's ours. And the only thing I want to say is, the musician's job is generally to perform, but my job is much more multifaceted. My job is to create environments for not just the choir to perform and not just for our children to perform, handbills to perform, but for a chance for you to perform. I mean, when we sing in the congregation, it's very much my job and Andrew's job to support that. It's very much our job to create opportunities for you to express your faith through a language that is so deep and so powerful, each and every one of us. So if there's anything that I can ever do, or my department can ever do, to help you tap into that, to help you become a part of an environment of communal singing, of participation in worship, please let me know. It's just a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be part of this wonderful, wonderful place. So, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. God's love surrounds us like the very air we breathe and is just as necessary to life. So settle in, breathe deeply of God's love.
Come, let us worship and bow. O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end.
Give me understanding, that I may keep your law, and observe it with my whole heart.
Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it.
Turn my heart to your decrees, and not to selfish gain.
Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways.
Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to be in union with Christ and one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer of illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the epistle. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is. How it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone and the day is near. Let us lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery or lasciviousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
St. Paul is on a journey. He journeyed a lot, didn't he? And in fact, he wasn't actually a saint as we think of it at that time, only under his general description that every follower of Jesus was a saint, is a saint. That means you as well. He's traveling from Corinth down to Jerusalem. He's been on a fundraising tour, okay? Preachers have been raising money ever since. He's taking collections from the Corinthian church and other churches and bringing them back to the community of the followers of Jesus in Jerusalem. You might call the mother church of the followers of Jesus. Because actually, these outlying communities of faith have a great deal more in terms of resources than the folks in Jerusalem, who tend to be very poor, who tend to have great needs that they cannot meet themselves. So he's collecting money to bring that back, and on his way, either at one sitting or perhaps at a number of different sittings, Paul would sit down with his scribe, Tertius. If you look toward the end of the book, it will say, I, Tertius, wrote this letter. He did, but Paul dictated it. That's how letters were done in those days. So Paul would have dictated, perhaps bit by bit and piece by piece, what we now call the book of Romans. It's easy to imagine that Paul just sat down one day and said, you know, I think I'll write me a little law and grace theology. But that's not how it happened. He wrote to specific communities at specific times concerning specific issues. Now, he did not found the church in Rome. He had never visited the church in Rome at this time. He expresses a hope that he'll be able to come and visit them because he's going to be traveling. Once he deposits the money with the church in Jerusalem, he is going to be traveling through Rome on his way to Spain. He talks about, just before what you heard Nancy read, Paul talks about how every government is established by God and comes from God. Every government? Really? All of them? And we are supposed to honor those in authority, and we are supposed to respect them, and we are supposed to pay our taxes. That's right, pay our taxes. A variation of render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's. It's interesting, you'll hear references to the sayings of Jesus in this book, but remember, the Gospels hadn't been written yet. They would be written for a few more years. He's receiving all of this through oral tradition. And when he admonishes folks to obey the government and pay their taxes, it might be just a general kind of admonishment, or it might be helpful to know that less than 10 years earlier, all of the Jews had been expelled from Rome by the Emperor Claudius. They had been expelled because of some troublemakers among the Jewish community who were followers of a person named Crestus, which we think is a corruption of Christus. It was the followers of Jesus who caused the trouble that got the Jews kicked out of Rome. They'd just been let back in, interestingly enough, by the Emperor Nero. Is Paul suggesting that maybe they should be a little quieter this time? That maybe they should, as far as they can in good conscience, follow the law and do whatever they're asked to do? I don't know. But he's very clear, even though we may owe certain things to the government, there is one debt that is above all. The debt of love we owe each other. Now, that works out pretty well if somebody has loved you already and you feel indebted for that love and you love them back. But how can we be in debt to everyone even before we meet them? Well, Paul has an answer for that too. God's great love, which was shared with us before we did anything to deserve it, before we did anything to earn it, which we couldn't do anyway, is given to us as a gift. Now, we can't really repay God's love back to God because God doesn't need anything from us. We could only offer a tiny, tiny bit of love back to God for the great love that God has shown us. So, how do we repay that debt of love? We repay it by loving our neighbors. Here again, Paul seems to be quoting the traditions of Jesus when he says, you know, if you love your neighbor, you fulfill the whole law. All of the commandments, not just the top 10, the 613 that had been identified by the Jewish teachers that appear in the Torah. To love one another takes care of all of those. Because if we love, we won't do any of the things that are harmful to others and that break relationships. And so, Paul says, you owe each other a debt of love. In a sense, it's like a film that came out several years ago called Pay It Forward. You may have seen it. Now, I honestly, in all truth, went to see it because Helen Hunt was in it, okay? But I found after I saw it that I received a gift, an image that pretty well describes for me what Paul is talking about here. If we cannot repay God's love in kind, what we do is we pay it forward. We pay it to those folks who might never think that they are loved by God, who might never have received a word from anyone that they are beloved of God. You see, this principle makes Paul a radical liberal. That's right. I didn't misspeak. You thought he was a radical conservative, didn't you? No. Paul was a radical liberal because he made it his entire mission to move beyond the confines that his religion had defined as acceptable. Do you have to become Jewish to be a follower of Jesus? Was the question. Paul's answer was no. God's love extended to all the Gentiles, which means everyone on the face of the earth. Gentile simply means anyone who's not Jewish. His understanding of God's love was that it was so expansive that it included those that some, even in his own tradition, rejected. He had gone through the eastern part of Asia Minor, and he had been preaching this. And some folks had found it to make sense, and other folks fell back into their old ways, saying, no, if you are going to be a follower of Jesus, the men have to be circumcised, the women have to keep kosher. One reason Paul was headed to the Western Mediterranean is, in some ways, he felt like he had failed in the eastern part of the region. People were turning back to a way that he did not approve of. Because, you see, he was welcoming all. Anyone who would come was welcome. There's a Roman Catholic New Testament scholar, Luke Timothy Johnson, who taught for many years at Candler School of Theology at Emory, at a United Methodist school. And a number of years ago, he suggested that this argument within the early followers of Jesus about who can be let in and who can't be let in might be helpful as we look at our modern divisions over the full inclusion of gay and lesbian people into the life of the church, into the community of the church. Because you see, as in Paul's time, there are congregations, United Methodist congregations, who think that you have to be straight in order to be a follower of Jesus. Now, I am very grateful, I am pleased, and I am honored to serve a congregation that does not believe that. That believes that God's love is so expansive, it invites everyone. And we are all called to come together in community. But you see, Paul struggled with this issue throughout his ministry. He felt like he was an apostle to those who had been rejected. He was an apostle to those who had been left out, specifically because if God could love him, God could love anybody. Remember Paul when he was Saul, holding the coats while others stoned Stephen to death for being a follower of Jesus? Remember Paul when he was Saul, headed toward Damascus, breathing threats and murder in order to imprison and persecute the followers of Jesus? If God could receive him, God could receive absolutely anyone, even a Gentile. If God can receive us, God can receive absolutely anyone, no matter their sexuality, race, cultural background. All of those barriers we put up as divisions between people disappear. They are dissolved in the love of God in Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That proves God's love toward us. Did you hear Nancy say that in the words of absolution? It proves God's love toward all people. And so in a few minutes, we're going to invite folks to the table. And in that invitation, we're going to tell you that you are all invited. You don't have to be a United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. Because you see, the law of love supersedes all the commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Pay it forward, that love that you've received from God. Don't keep it to yourself. Pass it along. Allow others to know that they are beloved of God, just like you know it. That's the debt we owe. That is the debt he's talking about. And it's the primary debt that we as followers of Jesus have to be aware of all the time. Because we can never fully repay what God has done for us. Which means everywhere we go, as long as we live, our primary task is to pay that love forward to others, especially those who have been rejected or hurt, who have been pushed away or persecuted because of who they are. We here at West End say that we are called to offer the loving light of Christ to all, that in connecting with God and with each other, individuals' lives can be literally transformed. The old word for that is conversion, can be converted, can be changed into something new by the love of God. So if I had to summarize the Gospels, I could do it. But I'd have to steal the words from somebody who's far wiser than I am. When someone asked Jesus the greatest commandment, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In this is not only all the law, but also all the prophets. That's our job. That's our debt. Let's be about paying it forward. Thanks be to God.
What a wonderful blessing it is that God has called us together for worship on this day, a day we're going to be gathering around the Lord's table where everyone is welcome. If you're a guest, we invite you to join us out these doors right to your right in Reed Hall for a time of fellowship. Meet some people, ask some questions about the life and ministry here at West End. If you look in the pew racks directly in front of you, there's a gray card. One side is for questions or comments for staff or lay leadership. The other side is an important side. It's the side where you lift up your prayer concerns and prayer requests. You can check those to be kept confidential, or you can check shared, and they'll be printed in the bulletin during worship services. After you've completed those cards, you're welcome to place them in the offering plate as they come around in just a few minutes. We also ask you, if you have not yet passed the attendance pads down your pew, if you would do so at this time. Open it, record your attendance, and then when it comes back by, look at the names of the people you're worshiping with. Say hello. Introduce yourself. Get to know those people. This is a special day. As you'll notice, there is a rose sitting on the reed table back here near the choir. That rose is for Olivia Ann Lemons, who was born on August 28th to Sully and Kate Lemons. She is welcomed also by her grandparents, Ann and Kirby Davis, as well as her aunt, Laura Davis. It's a special time, and we celebrate with Ann and Kirby and the family. God has graciously given all that we have, and God continues to give. As people of faith, let us return thanks by presenting our tithes and our offerings.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God of expansive love, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that a time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, he fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering and death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to it, gave it to disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
If you'll pray with me. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet.
Now I invite you to join with me as we pray together that prayer that Jesus taught to those he called brothers and sisters and friends, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Since there is one loaf, we, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the same loaf. When we break this bread, it is a participation in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is the participation in the blood of Christ. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or a renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you're welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We invite you to come by way of the center aisle. Kneel at the chancel rail. When you're ready to be served, simply extend your hand. You'll receive the bread first and then the cup. And then you're welcome to remain for a time of prayer if you choose. When you do decide to return, we ask that you return by way of the side aisles. If you need to be served in your pew, either catch my eye or the eye of one of us up here or one of the ushers, and we'll be glad to serve you there. Every month we take an offering for our communion service, and this month it goes to the prison ministries that are sponsored by West End United Methodist. This provides worship opportunities, Bible studies, mentoring, pen pals, and ministries to the family of prisoners. If you would care to contribute to that, there are two plates right next to the front pews. You can leave your offering there. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. join with me in the prayer after receiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves to others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you.
Any college students who are with us today are invited to lunch. We have a lunch for college students, and if you're interested, you can meet the Reverend Nancy Hawthorne at the very back of the church in the narthex, right at the west end doors. I hope you'll take advantage of this. I know they have a great time. And now go forth in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.